Chapter 6. Although jumping to conclusions is an expression, rather than an activity, it is as dangerous as jumping off a cliff, jumping in front of a moving train, and jumping for joy. If you jump off a cliff, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful landing unless there is something below you to cushion your fall, such as a body of water or an immense pile of tissue paper. If you jump in front of a moving train, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful voyage, unless you are wearing some sort of train-proof suit. And if you jump for joy, you have a very good chance of experiencing a painful bump on the head, unless you make sure you are standing someplace with very high ceilings, which joyous people rarely do. Clearly, the solution to anything involving jumping is either to make sure you are jumping to a safe place, or not to jump at all. But it is hard not to jump at all when you are jumping to conclusions, and it is impossible to make sure that you are jumping to a safe place, because all jumping to conclusions means is that you are believing something is true, even though you don't actually know whether it is or not. When the Baudelaire orphans heard from the three members of VFD's Council of Elders that Count Olaf had been captured, they were so excited that they immediately jumped to the conclusion that it was true.
"It's true,"
said one of the elders, which didn't help things any.
"A man arrived in town this morning with one eyebrow and a tattoo of an eye on his ankle."
"It must be Olaf,"
Violet said, jumping to conclusions.
"Of course it is,"
the second council member said.
"He matched the description that Mr. Poe gave us, so we arrested him immediately."
"So it's true," Klaus said, joining his sister in the jump. "You've really captured Count Olaf."
"Of course it's true,"
the third woman said impatiently.
"We've even contacted the Daily Punctilio, and they'll write a story about it. Soon the whole world will know that Count Olaf has been captured at last."
"Hooray!"
cried Sunny, the last Baudelaire to jump to conclusions.
"The Council of Elders has called a special meeting,"
said the woman, who appeared to be the eldest elder. Her crow hat bobbed in excitement as she spoke.
"All citizens are required to go to Town Hall immediately to discuss what is to be done with him. After all, rule number 19,833 clearly states that no felons are allowed within the city limits. The usual punishment for breaking a rule is burning at the stake."
"Burning at the stake," Violet said.
"Of course,"
an elder said.
"Whenever we capture rule breakers, we tie them to a wooden pole and light a fire underneath their feet. That's why I warned you about the number of nuts on my hot fudge sundae."
"It would be a shame to light you on fire."
"You mean the punishment is the same, no matter what rule you break?" Klaus asked.
"Of course,"
another elder replied.
"Rule number 2 clearly states that anyone who breaks a rule is burned at the stake. If we didn't burn a rule breaker at the stake, we would be rule breakers ourselves, and someone else would have to burn us at the stake, understand?"
"Sort of,"
Violet said, although in truth she didn't understand it at all. None of the Baudelaires did. Although they despised Count Olaf, the children didn't like the idea of lighting him on fire. Burning a villain at the stake felt like something a villain would do rather than something done by foul devotees. "But Count Olaf isn't just a rule breaker," Klaus said, choosing his words very carefully. "He has committed all sorts of terrible crimes. It would seem best to turn him over to the authorities rather than burning him at the stake."
"Well, that's something we can talk about at the meeting,"
a councilwoman said.
"And we'd better hurry, or we'll be late. Hector, get down from that ladder."
Hector didn't answer, but he got down from the ladder and followed the three members of the Council of Elders away from Foul Fountain, keeping his eyes on the ground at all times. The Baudelaires followed Hector,
their stomachs fluttering as they walked through the uptown district to the downtown one, where the crows were roosting as they had been yesterday, when the children had first arrived in VFD. Their stomachs were fluttering with relief and excitement, because they believed that Count Olaf had been captured, but also with nervousness and fear, because they hated the idea that he might be burned at the stake. The punishment for VFD rule-breakers made the Baudelaires remember their parents' deaths, and they didn't like the idea of anyone being lit on fire, no matter how vile a person they were. It was unpleasant to feel relief, excitement, nervousness, and fear all at once, and by the time they arrived at Town Hall, the stomachs of the Baudelaire orphans were as fluttery as the crows, which were muttering and scuffling as far as the eye could see. When one's stomach is as fluttery as all that, it is nice to take a short break, to lie down and perhaps sip a fizzy beverage, but there was no time for such things. The three members of the council led the way to the large room in Town Hall, decorated with portraits of crows. The room was in pandemonium, a phrase which here means filled with elders and townspeople standing around arguing. The Baudelaire scanned the room for a sign of Olaf, but it was impossible to see anyone over the bobbing crow heads.
"We need to begin the meeting," called one of the council. "Elders, find your places on the bench. Townspeople, find your places on folding chairs."
The townspeople stopped talking at once and hurried into their seats, perhaps afraid that they would be burned at the stake if they didn't sit down quickly enough. Violet and Klaus sat down next to Hector, who was still staring at the floor in silence, and picked up Sunny so she could see.
"Hector, place Officer Luciana and Count Olaf on the platform for discussion,"
an elder ordered, as the last few townspeople sat down.
"There's no need,"
called out a grand voice from the back of the room, and the children turned around to see Officer Luciana with a big red grin beneath the visor of her helmet.
"I can get to the platform myself. After all, I'm the chief of police."
"That's true,"
another elder said, and several other people on the bench nodded their crow hats in agreement as Luciana strolled to the platform, each of her black boots making a loud clunk on the shiny floor.
"I'm proud to say,"
Officer Luciana said proudly,
"that I've already made the first arrest of my career as chief of police. Isn't that smashing?"
"Yeah, yeah,"
said several townspeople.
"And now," Luciana continued, "let's meet the man we're all dying to burn at the stake, Count Olaf."
With a grand gesture, Officer Luciana stepped off the platform, clunked to the back of the room, and dragged a frightened-looking man out of a folding chair. He was dressed in a rumpled suit, with a large rip across the shoulder, and a pair of shiny silver handcuffs. He wasn't wearing any shoes or socks, and as Officer Luciana marched him to the platform, the children could see that he had a tattoo of an eye on his left ankle, just like Count Olaf had. And when he turned his head and gazed around the room, the children could see that he had only one eyebrow, instead of two, just like Count Olaf had. But the children could also see that he wasn't Count Olaf. He wasn't as tall as Count Olaf, and he wasn't quite as thin, and there wasn't dirt under his fingernails or a nasty and greedy look in his eyes. But most of all, the Baudelaires could see that he wasn't Count Olaf, the way you could tell that a stranger wasn't your uncle, even if he were wearing the same polka-dot coat and curly wig that your uncle always wore. The three siblings looked at one another, and then at the man being dragged onto the platform, and they realized with a sinking feeling that they had been jumping to conclusions about Olaf's capture.
"Ladies and gentlemen," Officer Luciana said, "and orphans, I give you Count Olaf."
"But I'm not Count Olaf,"
the man cried.
"My name is Jacques, and silence,"
commanded one of the meanest-looking members of the Council of Elders.
"Rule number 920 clearly states that no one may talk while on the platform." Let's burn him at the stake,
cried a voice, and the children turned to see Mr. Lesko standing up and pointing at the trembling man on the platform.
We haven't burned anyone at the stake for a long time.
Several members of the council nodded their heads.
That's a good point,
one of them said.
He's Olaf, all right,
Mrs. Morrow called from the far side of the room.
He has one eyebrow instead of two, and there's a tattoo of an eye on his ankle.
But lots of people have only one eyebrow,
Jacques cried.
And I have this tattoo as part of my job.
And your job is villain,
Mr. Lesko called out triumphantly.
Rule number 19,833 clearly states that no villains are allowed within the city limits, so we get to burn you at the stake. Hear, hear,
called several voices in agreement.
I'm not a villain,
Jacques said frantically.
I work for the volunteer.
Enough is enough,
said one of the youngest elders.
Olaf, you have already been warned about rule number 920. You are not allowed to speak when you're on the platform. Do any more citizens wish to speak before we schedule the burning of Olaf at the stake?
Violet stood up, which is not an easy thing to do if your head is still spinning, your legs are still wobbly, and your body is still buzzing with astonishment.
I wish to speak, she said. The town of VFT is my guardian, and so I am a citizen.
Klaus, who had Sunny in his arms, stood up and took his place beside his sister.
This man, he said, pointing at Jacques, is not Count Olaf. Officer Luciana has made a mistake in arresting him, and we don't want to make things worse by burning an innocent man at the stake.
Jacques gave the children a grateful smile, but Officer Luciana turned around and clunked over to where the Baudelaires were standing. The children could not see her eyes, because the visor on her helmet was still down, but her bright red lips curled into a tight smile.
"It is you who are making things worse," she said, and then turned to the Council of Elders.
"Obviously, the shock of seeing Count Olaf has confused these children," she said to them.
"Of course it has," agreed an elder. Speaking as a member of the town, serving as their legal guardian, I say that these children clearly need to be put to bed. Now, are there any adults who wish to speak?
The Baudelaires looked over at Hector, in the hopes that he would overcome his nervousness and stand up to speak. Surely he didn't believe that the three siblings were so confused that they didn't know who Count Olaf was. But Hector did not rise to the occasion. A phrase which here means, continued to sit in his folding chair with his eyes cast downward. And after a moment, the Council of Elders closed the matter.
I hereby close the matter,
an elder said.
Hector, please take the Baudelaires home.
Yes,
called out a member of the Verhugen family.
Put the orphans to bed and burn Olaf at the stake.
Hear, hear,
several voices cried. One of the Council of Elders shook his head.
It's too late to burn anyone at this stake today,
he said, and there was a mutter of disappointment from the townspeople.
We will burn Count Olaf at the stake right after breakfast, he continued. All uptown residents should bring flaming torches, and all downtown residents should bring wood for kindling and some sort of healthy snack. See you tomorrow.
And in the meantime, Officer Luciana announced, I will keep him in the uptown jail, across from Foul Fountain.
But I'm innocent,
the man on the platform cried.
Please listen to me. I beg of you. I am not Count Olaf. My name is Jacques.
He turned to the three siblings, who could see he had tears in his eyes.
Oh, Baudelaires, he said. I am so relieved to see that you are alive. Your parents...
That's enough out of you,
Officer Luciana said, clasping her white-gloved hand over Jacques' mouth.
Pipit!
Sunny shrieked, which meant, wait. But Officer Luciana either didn't listen or didn't care, and she quickly dragged Jacques out of the door before he could say another word. The townspeople rose up in their folding chairs to watch him go, and then began talking among themselves as the Council of Elders left the bench. The Baudelaire saw Mr. Lesko share a joke with the Verhoogen family, as if the entire evening had been a jolly party instead of a meeting sentencing an innocent man to death.
"Pipit!"
Sonny shrieked again, but nobody listened. His eyes still on the floor, Hector took Violet and Klaus by the hand and led them out of town hall. The handyman did not say a word, and the Baudelaires didn't either. Their stomachs felt too fluttery, and their hearts too heavy, to even open their mouths. As they left the council meeting without another glimpse of Jacques or Officer Luciana, they felt a pain even worse than that of jumping to conclusions. The children felt as if they had jumped off a cliff or jumped in front of a moving train. As they stepped out of town hall into the still night air, the Baudelaire orphans felt as if they would never jump for joy again.